live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And happy Wednesday, happy hump day. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams, 615-844-5600. If you'd like to be a part of the show, first two segments, open phones. So feel free to weigh in. The Higher over in Knoxville with Josh Heupel. You can talk SEC basketball, whatever is on your mind. A jam-packed show coming up around 4:35 or so. Tim Priest, the football analyst on the Vols Radio Network, will be joining us. Around 5:05, Mike Garrett, the 1965 Heisman Trophy winner from Southern Cal. He played with the Chiefs. He's a Chiefs legend, and he was the first Heisman winner ever to score a touchdown in a Super Bowl. Mike Garrett. 5:05, and then around 5:40, Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press up in New York. Happy Wednesday to you, Zach.
The snow is coming down. It kind of stopped now, though, as I look out the window.
I was getting ready to say, about 30 minutes ago, I was like, this could be dicey and interesting, but then, no, it stopped.
It just doesn't stick, man. I want it to stick.
It was too hot. It was too hot to stick.
I know. It was just snow at the right time. Like, why didn't it snow that day, like, 2 weeks ago? It was like 14 outside. Snow that day.
I'm good. Well, sometimes it can be too cold to snow where it won't stick. So not unless you're in Green Bay or Minnesota, some isolated place like that. Hey, by the way, I heard George mention this, and I was going to mention it too. And Mike Organ with the Tennessean had posted this. Our thoughts and prayers going out to not only the family of Coach Charlie Anderson, all those players that played for him. You know, we look at his contributions from the high school ranks. I got to know him when he was the head coach with Aquinas College here in Nashville. Won more than 1,000 games as a coach, different levels. He was a member of the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, the TSSAA Hall of Fame, and certainly our thoughts and prayers passing away at the age of 86. Really sad.
Yeah, it's always sad. I don't know who he is, honestly, but that's also just the age thing, I think.
Well, put it this way, if you were a fan of a local basketball program as far as college ranks, MTSU, Tennessee State, Austin Peay, Tennessee Tech, if you were a coach at one of those sites and you were not friends or acquaintances with Charlie Anderson, that's on you, because he certainly sent a lot of wonderful players, you know, as they continued their careers as far as the college ranks were concerned. But just his impact, although we're going to miss him, he will always be remembered for all of his accomplishments. Other things to get to, Jason Witten, for the second time retiring again, and as soon as his contract ends with the Raiders, he's going to sign a one-day contract with Dallas, and, you know, we'll be learning about this year's Pro Football Hall of Fame, what within the next few days, as far as this year's class, you can almost be rest assured that Jason Witten will be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame when his eligibility for the first year comes available for him.
Not as a broadcaster, though.
No, not as a broadcaster.
Really dropped the ball on that one. I'm not going to lie.
Not as a broadcaster, but certainly with what he was able to do and all the accomplishments as a tight end in the NFL. All right, so you know, it is what it is over in Knoxville. First and foremost, just say, you know, it'd be like this, Zach. It'd be like, go back to your middle school days, and you had a big dance coming up, and you wanted to ask a girl to the dance, right? So say you're in the seventh grade, first opportunity to go to a dance, and you went after, first and foremost, the most popular girl in your class. And you said, hey, what if, Beverly, if I asked you to go to the dance, if I asked you, would you go? If she said no, well, technically you didn't offer. You just said, what if, right? So the fact that we learned today from Dr. Danny White that Josh Heupel was his first candidate, stop. Just stop. Maybe officially, because, hey, James Franklin, will you take this job if we offer it to you? No? Okay. BJ Flight, will you take this job if we offer it to you? No? Whoever it was. And the list, by the way, there was a list. And Josh Heupel was not number one on the list. So let's just get that out of the way.
He may not have been number one on the list, but he, I think in relation to talking first to someone, he probably did talk to him first just because he was the person that he hired beforehand. So.
Yeah, but he was said he was the number one candidate.
Oh, well. Yeah, so, once again, they're just going with their their guy. He's just like, I'm all in, I'm all in. Yeah, it's probably not
so
true, though.
The guy, by the way, the guy gets fired by his head coach. So Josh Heupel played with Oklahoma, right? And his head coach, when he later became a co-offensive coordinator, he gets fired at the end of 2014 by one said coach. So a couple of stops, Utah State, then Missouri. Nothing to write home about as far as the records are concerned. But I go back to the Central Florida thing. Remember, he took over a program. Everybody keeps thinking that it was Josh Heupel that led Central Florida to a unblemished record, beating Auburn in the Peach Bowl. It was Scott Frost. People seem to forget that because, 2017, 2018, a little hazy. It was not Josh Heupel. It was Scott Frost. So we get to – and I'm trying to think of a program – that was trying to maintain a certain level. Did any other program that year, besides Alabama, get more love as far as, and not just in the sports world, college football world? I mean, remember, they threw a parade at Walt Disney World for the national champion Central Florida squad, right? And so you take that you start going downhill, starting with your first year, you and then to this past season, 6-4. The other thing about it, and I've talked about this constantly, especially on my Saturday college football show, if you ever look at the game notes for the University of Florida, all it is about how great the offense. We'll look at the improvement the offense has done under Dan Mullen. Well, there's three sides of football, offense, defense, special teams. And it was almost like, oh, by the way, we have defense here too. But no one cares because you're promoting what Dan Mullen means as far as being an offensive genius, right? So the same thing can be argued with Central Florida. And we started off with the introduction, comparing Central Florida with Clemson, with Alabama. Here's the thing. Clemson and Alabama also plays defense. I mean, even with the best, you look at the stats that Bama put up as far as offensively this year, you forget that Alabama's defense, especially with what they did starting with the second half against Georgia, moving all to the end of the year, wrapping up with a national title, top 15 defense in the country, right? Was Central Florida top 15 in defense? No. we look at this year, there's 127 teams, right, that played football this year. Three teams opted out as far as, college football of the independents, the Power Five, Group of Five. Total defense, Central Florida ranked 123 out of 127 as far as total defense, giving up just under 500 yards per game. Scoring defense, they ranked 92nd out of 127 teams, giving up over 33 points. So you can say and brag all you want about the offense, but there's a reason why you were 6-4 in 2020. And that's because of the fact you're not playing defense.
So are you saying that they hired the wrong person?
No, I'm saying that because either they don't have a good salesperson, they give up, took the first no and didn't try. Remember, I go back to, and look, I don't blame this hire. I mean, look, maybe it is the best they could do because they got no and got told no more than once, more than twice, more than three times, a lady. They got told no several times, by the way. In fact, I have folks reaching out to me who cover Penn State, and they wanted verification whether or not James Franklin actually showed up in Knoxville, and they were hoping that he did because they really wanted to nail him because the fan base up in with Penn State are just tired of James Franklin, but he didn't quote-unquote interview for the job. Maybe they reached out to him just like Florida State did last year. That's a good thing if people are interested in your coach. It'd be different if you're actually showing up for interviews. That'd be the point where your fan base gets really tired of you. So I had to disappoint them to let them know, all my sources tell me Franklin did not show up in Knoxville. But, because of what they've done, going from Derek Dooley to Butch Jones to Jeremy Pruitt, they turned this great tradition which is, you know, Tennessee is. You know, this year we celebrated 151 years of college football. Tennessee, one of the top 10 traditions in college football history.
And
the problem is they've turned it into a group of five kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's sad. I mean, that's sad to say that, but it's almost like the people. Why are you going after a Derek Dooley back even when he got hired when you're not going after an established Power Five conference coach? That made no sense to me.
Yeah.
And then it got worse and worse.
They had to figure it out, and this is the guy that probably said yes first. I mean, I imagine they went after more prestigious people, but they just nobody wants to deal with the current problems going on with UT. I mean, they've lost tons of their players. They're basically restarting their whole entire program because of how many people have left now or entered the transfer portal. And they, you know, obviously having to deal with the outcome of whatever happens with this NCAA investigation. Who knows how that'll actually go? And
it's not going to go well.
It's probably not going to go well. And they know that. And so they're just like, you know, I don't feel like dealing with this and having also the stigma of dealing with a blue blood SEC program and having that be out there for fans to constantly find a scapegoat in the new head coach, because that's what's going to happen.
The only thing I know is that, you know, we go back. This is your only head coaching experience, right? And what I see is you concentrate on offense, you don't care about the defense, and it shows with your stats. That's what it shows to me. And, you know, you can't just outscore everybody. You know, I understand that's the goal, but, you know, your offense is going to struggle at times. And when they struggle, you know, you do the three and out with your offense that you're trying to just move, play. That puts a strain on your defense, and the other message you're sending. I mean, we kept constantly hearing these wonderful stats about the offense. That is a huge turnoff to if you're a defensive standout in high school. There's two teams now in the SEC East that love to brag about the offense now. Certainly, we heard that today early over in Knoxville with what Josh Heupel brings to the table. We've been hearing it for years with Dan Mullen, now with the Florida Gators. With Florida, I mentioned it over and over and over. Their game notes, it's all about the love for the offense. Look, I'm a defensive player. You know, I want some attention too. And I'll give you an example. I mean, I read all the game notes. I'll take a perfect example, Alabama and what they do. First of all, they talk about the program. And then they equally talk about the offense, defense, and special teams. All three aspects of football. It's no mistake. You know, and look, if you're not, and you don't think that, well, the coaches have nothing to do with game notes. Oh, they see the game notes, and they certainly want, and they tell you exactly, since everything's a brand, they tell you exactly the direction that they want certain things, especially when it comes to marketing their programs.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck. You know, maybe this is the best they could do. Maybe they got one of these situations where, well, in the end, we can get Josh Heupel. So let's see. Coach A, would you be interested in the job? No. Okay, check. How about Coach B? Would you be interested in the job? No. Okay, check. How much effort did you really get into selling the program? What you can do? Your direction moving forward. That is my point.
Well,
I think here's an exhaustive – the fact that we're talking about an exhaustive national search, really?
Well, you know, you're kind of forced to use that kind of terminology.
When you're talking about a couple of days.
Yeah, I know. But
Stop with that nonsense.
You get all this weird backlash, I feel like, if you don't say you didn't check every nook and cranny, even though we all know it didn't.
My point is it wasn't exhaustive.
Yeah.
You basically went, no, okay, check, no, check, okay, door number three, okay, no, okay, check, thank you, okay. Well, we asked eight people, and they said they weren't interested. Yeah, how much effort did you put into it?
Maybe Danny White stayed up on the phones every night, didn't get one ounce of sleep.
Stop.
Calling all the coaches he can, and he was the first one to answer.
Stop. You know who's going to benefit, by the way? And, you know, the interesting thing, what if Tony Elliott takes the job, if he gets offered, takes the job at Central Florida? The fact that there's buyouts as far as the AD position, also with the head coaching position. So Central Florida gets richer money-wise for an athletic program. And certainly all of these programs certainly need money now with what they went through the last year with COVID-19. And what if they end up with Tony Elliott?
Well,
that would be the thing that I'd be interested in seeing what transpires.
I don't know. Tennessee's in a real carousel right now.
I just go back to the fact it never should have come to the point that a Jeremy Pruitt and a Josh Heupel gets hired over Knoxville. Look, that's just the reality. This goes back to 10 years ago, starting with the hire of Derek Dooley. Derek Dooley never should have been hired as the head coach for Tennessee, and this downward spiral began with that. And accepting, okay, well, we'll see. Butch Jones looks good now. Let's just try Butch Jones. Do you not want somebody who has shown that they can be successful as a head coach at the level that you're playing in? No offense to Vanderbilt or UMass or any of these other programs, but the bottom line is you're not that. You've had success in college football. And so this problem over in Knoxville, started after Lane Kiffin. After Lane Kiffin left after the 1 year, this started in 2010 and has not gotten better.
Well, who's got it? Because, we're all about the breakups now, right? Tom Brady leaves the Patriots. How did they do? Which one got the better side? Who got the better side? Tennessee now getting Josh Heupel Jeremy Pruitt going to the Jets?
Well, here's the reality, by the way. You bring this up, and first of all, he would have gotten more money if he had not gotten himself in trouble. Because it was out there that, for example, he was interested in the defensive coordinator job with Texas. So you start thinking about, and what coordinators make in the college football ranks. He would have gotten more money, not that he's hurting now because of his paycheck leaving Knoxville. The bottom line is there were college teams that he was interested in, wanting to be a part of it. Just knowing that was out there. And I go back to the original statement. You can't touch him because I was even having this conversation with the station down in Tuscaloosa a couple weeks back. And the bottom line is, until you know what the NCAA is going to do with Jeremy Pruitt, what kind of personal things they put on him, then you can't hire him. And that may be a while. And so that's why, okay, the NFL is the next opportunity. And you mentioned that he had the connection with the new Jets head coach. And so there you go.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows how it all works out? But Tennessee, I liked what Watson said, and I'll take what Watson said is pretty probably pretty spot on, but he said that Tennessee is going to have a whole new offense. Their offense is going to look completely different, and it's going to be a more flashy, open, speed offense, which, maybe that does help. Maybe that breathes new life into Neyland. Who knows?
Yeah, but here's the problem. You've got the built-in excuse already. The fact that, we're up against the AVAL. COVID-19, one thing. We had all the folks transferring out in the transfer portal. The fact that we may be on probation. We don't know how long and all that. So it's almost like you've got the built-in excuses before you even take the field. And I go back to when Butch Jones, his first 2 years especially. Butch Jones's classes were always young. Young, we're so young out there. He was saying it even in his final year. We're so young. It's like, stop. Even before games were played, he was using that, throwing that out there. And it's like, you're giving your players an excuse to fail before they even have a chance to succeed. And so, look, everybody went through COVID-19, so throw that out the window. You can say you're 6-4, but we had COVID-19 issues having to deal with that. Every football program in the country had to deal with COVID-19. So stop with that nonsense. And don't use excuse about if there is probation. Don't use that as an excuse because you knew that that was going to be probably the case before you took the job. So I don't want to hear about COVID-19. I don't want to hear about, the probation is impacting us. You knew it. You should accept it. You never should mention it again. Too strong? Maybe. But I'm just saying, you don't give your players excuses to fail before they take the field. They used to drive me crazy. I knew Butch Jones was going to fail just because he was making excuses for his players hear all these things. And when you got a game coming up on Saturday and you're saying these things on Monday or Tuesday, it's like, okay, so if we fail, we already know we can have that excuse because we didn't win the game on Saturday. Stop. The fans of Tennessee who put in their hard money, they make the donations, they pay their hard money for tickets. They don't want to hear your excuses.
Well, they do because they need to use them themselves.
Oh, there you go.
you got to start somewhere, right?
Well, there was always this joke down in North Alabama when Bama fans would hear Tennessee talk about that. And it's like, Tennessee, actually, this was the joke. Tennessee never lost a football game. It was always the officials. Mm. And there you go.
I think a lot of schools use that. A lot of pro teams do, too.
A lot to get to. SEC play last night. We'll get in that conversation on the other side. If you'd like to weigh in, 615-844-5600, 844-5600. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's really just wet now here in the Nashville metro area, but still north of Nashville, still some snow coming down in parts of Robertson County. Be careful of 65 traffic. Still looks pretty good despite the wet driving conditions here on the South Loop, the West Loop, M Hill Pike at Briley Parkway. We saw that wreck. 65 south at Trinity Lane. We've had a number of accidents in that area already this afternoon. Hey, right now, teachers and students get 50% off all orders there at Donut Distillery, located 311 Gallatin Avenue in East Nashville. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
More time at home means more laundry at home and more wear and tear on old appliances. But it's the perfect time for a trip to the Home Depot or HomeDepot.com. Right now, save on a Samsung top or front load laundry pair. Your choice, just $6.98 each. Save up to $600 on the pair. So wash, dry, and save big on select Samsung laundry appliances. Now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details. Gas dryer extra valid through January 27th.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text STREAK to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text STREAK to 321-321 right now. Text STREAK to 321-321. That's STREAK to 321-321.
Pennington Distilling Company is a proud sponsor of WNSR's Pickin' with the Pickers with Greg Pogue and John Burton. Pickers Vodka, Pickers Unplugged Seltzers, and canned cocktails are all available and made right here in Nashville, along with the award-winning Davidson Reserve line of whiskeys and Whisper Creek, Tennessee Sippin' Cream. Learn more by touring the distillery in the nation's neighborhood, by following Pennington Distilling Company on social media, or online at PenningtonDistillingCo.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR Skyscan forecast. Throughout the afternoon, rain showers change over to snow showers as we head into the evening, and temperatures fall to the mid-20s overnight. For Thursday, partly sunny and temperatures near 40 degrees. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now, 615-844-5600.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks, with you along with Zach Williams. Coming up around 4:35 or so, the college football analyst on the Vols Radio Network, Tim Priest, joins us. Also, just after 5, 1965 Heisman Trophy winner Mike Garrett. He is not only a legend with the USC Trojans, also the Kansas City Chiefs. He'll be joining us. A lot of football conversations. By the way, basketball last night, a couple things stood out for me, and especially we're in the stretch run. We'll have March Madness, right? Zach, a couple things stood out for me. First of all, Tennessee. Look, Mississippi State gave Alabama a nice run on Saturday, and look, they're a tough team, you know, and Tennessee, look, it wasn't pretty, but they found a way at the end to get the job done, and they prevailed 56-53. And these are, you know, when we think about games like that, first of all, it ended the two-game skid. But more importantly for Tennessee, it also showed the team that in tough games and tight games, they can make the plays necessary in the stretch to pull out victories. And so that's what it meant for me as far as Tennessee. And then Alabama, Kentucky, boy, what Alabama was able to do. I mean, at one point, Kentucky built a four-point lead. Alabama, in the last 4.5 minutes, they closed the game with an 18-5 run. And what stood out for me when that one, first of all, although I didn't have a wager on it, Bama was favored by 8.5, right? So they get to a situation where they needed to make a couple of free throws. They made both of them to then increase their lead to 9. So Kentucky, you know, they're going to lose the game, but in the final 13 seconds, Alabama easily could have allowed Kentucky just to do an easy layup uncontested, right? No, Alabama blocks the layup and then takes it back down court and scores, and thus the 11-point win. And that just shows me when the games are on the line the final 5 minutes, and I think this is certainly important, too, when we look at the struggles that Vanderbilt has had in the last 3 years. The fact that in the last 5 minutes, you can almost anticipate Vanderbilt falling apart, not making free throws, not making the plays necessary. And a good example is watching what Alabama did last night and what Vanderbilt has not been able to do in the last 3 years, the difference between where these two programs are headed right now.
Yeah, well, and it's a lot of different leadership, too, I think, and we're kind of seeing that all play out as well.
I see where you're going with that.
I mean, that's I think there is a part with that. I mean, you see Stackhouse doing a thing. You don't see Nate Oss doing that. You don't see, and then you see his team succeeding. So when you see the two, you can make a real commonality here that maybe if you weren't acting like that and more focusing on your team and uplifting your team, you know, because Nate Oss didn't walk into a winning program right away.
No. Nope.
You know, they both walked into a program that needed help, and one's doing it, one's not.
Bama wasn't top 25 in the preseason, and yet look at what they've done. They in 2 weeks, they've gone, in one poll, not even being ranked, to now number 9 in the country. 14-3 overall, 9-0 in conference play. I still tell you, watch out for Auburn. They have probably is going to be a one-and-done player and Sharif Cooper. He missed the first 12 games because of eligibility issues. He is out there. Get this, in the 6 games that he's played in, 22.3 points per game he's averaging, 8.7 assists. Last night in the win over 12th-ranked Missouri, he had 28 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. So Auburn, although they're not ranked, different team altogether before and now with Cooper. Watch for Auburn to make a run. I would not be shocked to see Auburn actually win the SEC tournament this year. That's a bold statement, but I'm going to say it.
So bold.
Hey, by the way, tonight, 3 games in play. Vanderbilt, still searching for their first conference win of the year. Not going to be easy. They have to go to Gainesville to take on the Florida Gators, a team that is 1-2 straight. They're 5-3 in conference play, and one of those wins was against Tennessee last week. So we'll see how this plays out. I'm also looking forward to seeing what happens on Saturday after tonight's action. It's the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Vanderbilt is one of the 4 SEC teams not participating in that. They'll host South Carolina on Saturday while Ole Miss is at Georgia. But, you know, a few of these matchups, how about 9th-ranked Alabama will be at 24th-ranked Oklahoma. 18th-ranked Tennessee hosts 15th-ranked Kansas. And what about Kentucky? Look, Kentucky's got some players. They'll be hosting 5th-ranked Texas. That would be a nice shot in the arm for them if they're able to pull off some magic. And what I was saying about Cooper earlier with Auburn, this will be a good test for them. You know, Baylor still undefeated, right? Auburn will be at 2nd-ranked Baylor on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this all plays out and how the SEC matches up with another conference. So time will tell in that one. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll have a chance to talk some Tennessee football. Tim Priest, he is a college football analyst with the Vols Radio Network. Also, reminder, coming up just after 5, Heisman Trophy winner Mike Garrett, the first Heisman Trophy winner, by the way, to score a touchdown in a Super Bowl when the Chiefs knocked off Minnesota in 1970. Mike Garrett will be joining us. And then around 5:40, Barry Wilner. He is the pro football writer with the Associated Press up in New York. Hey, before we go to break, hey, look, celebrate the 55th edition of the Big Game with exclusive 55-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. Look, here's the thing. If you've never tried FanDuel before, new users can bet on either team and get 55-1 odds when Tampa Bay takes on Kansas City. That's right. You can bet $5 and win $275 if you pick the winner of the big game coming up on February 7th. You know, FanDuel has been the direction to go all season long when it comes to betting college football, NFL as well. Look, it's easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, and easy to find your bet. Plus, they have fast withdrawals. When you win, FanDuel pays your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Here's the thing. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use the promo code FRANKS to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code FRANKS. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. You must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Maximum bonus $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
Good afternoon. Traffic's building even more so here on 40 East up by Fessler's, headed out towards the airport into Donaldson. Hermitage, watch your speed. M Hill Pike at Briley Parkway. That wreck is being cleared, and they're still working with that wreck. 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. That's a popular spot for usually morning drive traffic. Hey, check out the house and the property that's for sale, 1638 Dr. D.B. Todd Jr. Boulevard in Nashville. Call Realtor Greg Sanford at area code 615-300-0753. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
It's time to say, "See you later, alligator," to embarrass it.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams, 615-844-5600. We're in standby, we're on deck to join Tim Priest, the football analyst for the Vols Radio Network, to talk about what's going on over in Knoxville. But until then, if you'd like to weigh in, 615-844-5600. You know, I go back to, you know, we look at that stretch, and when I keep talking about, you know, what does that mean to you, Zach, when I say Tennessee, one of the top football traditions of all time? Does that even resonate with you? Because the reason I bring it up, because it's been so long. All right, well, I'll ask this with Tim. We're joining now Tim Priest, once again, football analyst on the Vols Radio Network. Tim, always a pleasure having you on, and welcome back to the show.
Glad to be with you. Interesting times. That might not be the right adjective, but unusual times at Tennessee, but hopefully we started in the right direction today.
You know, what was your thoughts in hearing from Dr. White and then obviously Josh Heupel, the new head coach, and what, you know, lies ahead for this Tennessee program? What was your initial thoughts with the when you heard about the announcement that Josh Heupel was going to be the new head coach?
They both have good grammar. No, I was impressed with both of them. Danny White's family, his background, listening to him with Chancellor Plowman speaking the other day when he was hired here, and then again today, I didn't get to see it, but I listened to Josh Heupel's words. I was impressed. He seemed to understand the situation. Sound like he was really glad to be here. He's got a lot of work ahead of him. He's got to hopefully Tennessee can not get too stiff of penalties, but there's certainly going to be some penalties. And I think one of his first orders of business will be to sign a class and to hopefully convince some of these players that have wanted to put their name in the transfer portal that come back and play here. It's going to be better.
You know, I go back, and I was saying this earlier this hour, Tim, the fact that, you know, this situation didn't start with the hiring of Jeremy Pruitt. This goes back to the 2010 when Derek Dooley was hired. You know, I go back to Philip Fulmer's run after Johnny Majors. And in 14 of his 16 seasons as head coach, Philip Fulmer had 8 or more wins in 14 of those 16 years. And it almost got, you know, and if I said that, you know, today, and have said, okay, Tennessee Vols fan, would you take that with whoever is the new head coach? You wouldn't even hesitate to accept that. It almost like, to me, on the outside looking in, that Tennessee got too big for their britches.
Well, I don't know what the reasoning is, but we've hired 3 coaches who have had minimal success, and the program hit rock bottom this year because of the admitted violations of NCAA rules, which is going to mean probably a number of scholarships and some other restrictions. Saying you can't play in a bowl won't mean much because we're probably not going to be bowl eligible the next couple of years. But I think looking on the positive side, we have an athletic director with a lot of experience, with a family that has been around college sports all his life, and hopefully Josh Heupel won a national championship, I believe, as quarterback of Oklahoma. He knows what it's like to play big time. He hasn't coached in a Power 5 conference yet, but what I really like about him, offense. He knows how to put points on the board. You may have heard an interview with Coach Saban earlier in the year. Chris Lowe had one with him, and his words were, "You can't win big in college sports and in college football anymore if you can't score 40 points." I don't remember the last time Tennessee scored 40 points, and this guy is an offensive mind. He's got a great mind for things, and hopefully that'll help in the long run.
You know, prior to 2019, you brought up Nick Saban. I asked him at SEC Media Days about, you know, what advice would Nick Saban today give Nick Saban when he was in his first year as head coach in college football with Toledo in 1990. And he started laughing, and he says, run the spread. And it's along those same lines that you're talking about. But, hey, offense is just one part of it. You still have to play defense, and it's great when you compare numbers with Central Florida, with what Clemson was able to do, with what Alabama was able to do. But last time I checked, they played some pretty good defense too.
They did, but you can have a good defensive game where your team scores 45 or 50 points and you give up 25.
True.
20 years ago, giving up 25 was a death knell. You know, it's everybody's got to put the points on the board. And hopefully, given a little time, I would hope the fan base would understand the situation that Josh Heupel is in, and it's going to take a little while. We're not going to win 8 games next year, I wouldn't imagine, or 10 games or anything like that, or maybe for a while. But just get it going in the right direction and get it going without getting in the NCAA doghouse.
One of the other things, and I've been throwing this up, you know, this year we just wrapped up 151 years of college football, and I will throw it out. I mean, look, the wins back up what I'm saying. I mean, here's Tennessee ranked number 10 all-time in wins, right? So we're talking about one of the great football traditions, 100,000-plus fans as far as in the stadium in non-COVID-19 years. You got an outstanding fan base. I just think that you can throw your chest out. You can bring all these folks from different decades. I don't think you can do enough to remind folks that, hey, we do have a great football tradition here in Knoxville.
Well, they can when a high schooler comes here, they're not getting to come here much these days. But the facilities are terrific. The stadium is impressive. And they can see on the walls banners and pennants and things from championship teams, SEC championships, national championships. So they'll know that this is a place that's won big. And hopefully they'll buy into the idea that they can help us win big again. When I long time ago when I was in high school in the 60s, early 60s, Tennessee couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag. I was not looking at them like I was ever going to play college football till late in my senior year, and I got a few offers, but Coach Dickey came. And the next thing you know, first year he'd won 4 or 5 games. The next year he'd won 6 or 8. The next year he'd won 9 or 10. And it looked like they were headed in the right direction. So a lot of good players came to Tennessee. We need some results, but it's going to be a little harder to get them for the next couple of years, I think.
And that's the thing, you know, with any great tradition, I mean, whether it's Alabama, Notre Dame, Southern Cal, you know, when we think and talk about great football traditions, everyone, without exception, have had some moments where they have been down as far as that roller coaster ride. So that doesn't take away from the fact that they are a solid football tradition, just that, you know, all these programs at one point or another over the years have had those moments being on the downturn. And, you know, what do you feel like is the biggest thing that Tennessee has to do, not just with the head coach, but the staff, the players, everybody involved with this process, to get back to, say, what Tennessee was able to enjoy back in the 90s, for example?
Well, first, he's got to hire a good staff, and I think he's on the way to doing that. Secondly, get the players, the good players that are trying to transfer out of here, show them what it could be like. Maybe you show them video of his team, of Heupel's teams, and how well they've played, and they're scoring 50 points or 45 points a game. Steady the attrition, I think, is the first thing. There's some good football players that are talking about leaving, and I think that's the first thing to do. The second is sign this class. Sign the players that have committed to you and are still committed to you. After that, get a good staff together. Get a positivity back into the program, and not, oh, woe is me, we're getting penalized so we can't go to a bowl game or whatever it is. But show some life. Have an upset or two next year of teams that's going to be favored to beat us. Get some positive thinking in the program and get away from all this NCAA business. Hopefully that gets wrapped up, but usually it takes a year or more for that to get wrapped up.
You know, if you're talking about, Tim, with regards to recruiting, and there's the talk about how wonderful of a job you did as, you know, with offense, for example, at Central Florida, how do you convince defensive players at the high school ranks that still Tennessee is the place to come to?
Your offense is going to be really good, and if you can come up here and have a pretty good defense, we're going to win a lot of games. They'll have, I don't know who he's going to hire as a coordinator defensively, but I think they play an important role in recruiting defensive players, just as your offensive coordinator does. And Heupel's going to call the plays in the game. He's going to be the one calling the plays, but certainly he'll take input from a recruiter. But every team, don't get me wrong, every snap I ever played was defensively at Tennessee, and I was proud of the guys I played with. We had good defenses on a lot of good football players that went pro or made all SEC or whatever. So certainly you want to get them in here. You got to have some pass rushers. You got to have some cornerbacks that can play coverage. Heupel certainly knows that, and hopefully that'll come about. I see today Lawrence has put his name in the transfer portal. Well, I think that's somebody you go talk to and say, hey, you just played here as a freshman year. Stay with me. You're going to play on a good team.
And that's one of the other things, too, with the transfer portal. You know, we've been throwing it out there. There's too many players right now in the transfer portal as far as spots available with these teams, as far as, you know, when we think about Power 5, Group of 5, or the independents. And there's going to be, it's a numbers game, and right now there's not enough musical chairs out there available for these guys. So if you are looking at the transfer portal, first of all, it's a great way to improve your program immediately. But at the same time, you have to be selective, because you need to find players who aren't just thinking about themselves. They're also talking and thinking about how to make the team, in this case, if they come to Knoxville, how to make Tennessee better in 2021.
hopefully Heupel can make it fun again. And you can't promise that to a kid. That's not what you go to sell. But winning's fun. College football's hard. If you're losing, I mean, I did it years and years and years ago, but it's a grind all year long, more so now than it was years and years ago. And if you don't win, it's a tough time for 4 years. So everybody wants to play for a winner. We need to have enough players to pull off a couple of wins next year that we're not supposed to and show the recruits in that class we're headed in the right direction.
And if you don't believe what you just said, you know, go to a practice if you get the opportunity and watch a team that is struggling with a 6-7-8-game losing streak. And then if you get the opportunity, go to a practice with a team that's won 6 or 7 or 8 straight. It's like the difference between here and the moon as far as the attitude, players working hard to get better. A lot easier when you're winning, getting that reward when instead of losing contest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I thought the last couple of practices I saw at Tennessee, they were trying to get things done, but there wasn't the enthusiasm that there was at times when they're winning. Absolutely.
Hey, Tim, thank you for taking time out on this busy day. I appreciate it so much. All my best to you and your family, and certainly stay safe and look forward to having you on down the road.
Thank you, and hopefully the next time we talk, if we do, we're talking about some big game that Tennessee just won.
I hear you. I like that. Hey, thank you again, Tim.
All right, sure thing.
All right, buddy. Tim Priest, once again, football analyst on the Vols Radio Network, and, you know, proof's in the pudding. All right, so the hires are there. Now you got to hire your staff and then work to add to your roster, convince those players that you want that played for Tennessee last year to come back, and also use the transfer portal to, you know, with other players that are in there, help your squad. And then you also have the late signing period, too, coming up in February. Coming up just after 5, Heisman Trophy winner Mike Garrett of Southern Cal and Kansas City Chiefs fame, too, will be joining us, not only talking about Heisman trophies, but also talking about this year's Super Bowl and his experience in a Super Bowl as well. All that's still coming up in the next few minutes. Also around 5:40, Barry Wildner, pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Traffic's picked up even more so here. 65 up by Metro Center here at Rosa Parks. Sure, we've seen a couple of accidents in the last few minutes. Concord Road at Nolensville Pike, that's out Nippers Corner. Still on the scene of that wreck, 65 southbound, right near Trinity Lane. There's also a police situation there at Trinity Lane and Brick Church Pike. Avoid that area for the next few minutes. Hey, check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich now, available at Princess Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
AJ Allmendinger is going to run full-time in the Xfinity Series, attempting a Daytona start as well as racing this weekend at the Rolex 24.
I tested it in December, and it's quite fast. The rate of speed from what I've been driving over the last several years, it kind of reminded me back when I first started in Champ Car, like that initial hit of the throttle and especially the brake pedal, I had to get used to. And fortunately enough, I got great teammates. Olivier Plaw and Dane Cameron were at the test, and with JPM joining us, it's going to be fantastic. So I got to step my game up. We got a great lineup. Those three aren't going to be the weak spot, so I got to get out there and learn as quick as I can. But the car is phenomenal, and just can't wait to get it at a race pace.
As he looks back on things, AJ Allmendinger's been doing this race for quite a while.
Well, it's my 15th year. You know, I missed 1 year, the first year that they went to the GTD class with the NSX. But other than that, I mean, 15 years with Mike Shank and Meyer Shank Racing has been very special to me. The Rolex 24-hour race is very prestigious, and we've been fortunate enough to win it one time. And I love coming to the race, but I really, truly associate this race with Mike Shank. Couldn't imagine doing it with anybody else. Quite honestly, it's still an honor, just a privilege that he allows me and more importantly believes in me to go out there and drive his race car still.
The Final Lap.
The thing about the Home and Auto Bundle from Progressive is that by now you've heard a lot of ads about the Home and Auto Bundle from Progressive. We don't even need the words, the Home and Auto Bundle, anymore to tell you that you could save big with a ring-tailed lemur from Progressive, or that every hot peach cobbler comes with round-the-clock service and protection. And that's the thing about the goat with magic powers. You've heard a lot of ads about the sushi in Vancouver. See how much you could save with the Home and Auto with the Shaman in the Jungle from Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it would be too difficult? Then try Babbel. Babbel starts by teaching you words and phrases that gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations. So in 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking a new language in a few weeks. Babbel is built around real life. It teaches you practical conversations that you will actually use. Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com today. That's Babbel.com.
Slim Chickens is known for our 100% all-natural chicken tenders and perfectly fried wings. But our new dry rub wings are where it's at. Available in two flavors, House Cayenne Ranch that blends cool with a kick of cayenne, or Classic Lemon Pepper that brings a tangy zest. Try them as a meal or party tray. But hurry, get them while you can. Whether you're dining in, driving through, or ordering online, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Julia, and Hendersonville.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams, 615-844-5600. Coming up at the top of the hour, Heisman Trophy winner Mike Garrett scored a touchdown in the fourth Super Bowl, but technically, and I'm going to get in this conversation with Mike, I'm pretty sure it was the first Super Bowl, and then what they did, they went retroactive because with the Green Bay's first two wins and then the Jets beating Baltimore in the third championship game, they went retroactive and made it, you know, and using the Roman numerals, 1, 2, and 3. But prior to that, those first three, the AFL-NFL championship game. And so then Lamar Hunt, the late owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, thought that, yeah, that's just not sexy enough, and hats off to him, came up with the term Super Bowl, and it stuck with the fourth one. So there you go. Are you okay with the Roman numerals, by the way?
No. Are you kidding me? That's the worst part. Like, I don't want to have to learn while I'm watching the Super Bowl. I mean, this one's easy because it's now I know L is 50, and right. I already know V is 5. So this is pretty easy.
I'm like you. I think it should be mandatory because I don't know about if there was one point when I was in elementary school, we were looking to start making the transition to the metric system, and we were also having to use Roman numerals. I don't know why, who was thinking this was a great idea.
See, that's like my age is cursive. I was like every day it was like, you got to learn cursive. You got to know cursive in college. And the second I'm out of high school, they're like, yeah, why, never use cursive again other than signing your name.
That literally was one of my six classes in elementary school. Remember I was telling you about the fact that they wheeled in the and got a chance to see the Braves play in 1974 and watching Hank Aaron? That was a writing course. And it wasn't writing like, you know, like an English course or anything. No, you were learning how to write cursive.
Yeah.
And for a whole hour. Oh, I'm sorry, 50 minutes.
And now it doesn't matter anymore.
I know. And I worked so hard. That was just not one of my specialties. I remember once, finally, in a six-week period of time, I got an A. And I think it's because I sold the teacher on my improvement to get that A. Toughest A I ever had to earn.
Your R's look like N's, probably.
They still look bad. But at least I think you can recognize them. But, you know, it's a lost art form, to say the least. All right, hour number two on the way. Heisman Trophy winner Mike Garrett at the top of the hour. Also, Barry Wilner with the Associated Press in New York. All coming up in hour number two right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
WPDQ. Franksboro. On air.